To see you all this morning. We know that on Wednesday, the year is coming to a what? It's coming to an end. And I bet you there's a lot of you who've written down what you're going to be doing next year. When 1st January comes, I'll go to the gym and I'll get fitter. Or I will study hard at university. Or I'm going to paint the house, whatever it is that you've planned to do. But this morning, I want to tell you that it is a decision and not a date that's going to move your life. And this is because dates by themselves don't carry any power. Dates are powerless. They don't carry power, but decisions do. A date is passive. So just because the date changes doesn't mean that things are going to necessarily change in your life. What you'll definitely understand is that you'll get older. But a decision is active. Nothing spiritually changes just because the calendar turns. Just because we go from 31 December 2025 to the 1st of January 2026 does not mean anything changes. Transformation comes from obedience and response. Transformation in our lives comes not because the date has changed, but it comes from obedience and response. We need to understand that a date does not change anything in our lives, but a decision does, because God works through response, not our readiness. We understand throughout Scripture that God moves when people respond, not when conditions are perfect. Moses, for instance, wasn't ready when he was called. Gideon wasn't confident. Peter wasn't stable in his life. The disciples were not prepared. What they had in common was a decision to obey. I want us to understand this morning that faith is activated by response, not by readiness. You see, the level that you're on, I need you to understand is that there is another level. You are on this level here, but the Lord is saying there is another level I need you to go through. This is not going to be just because a date has changed, but because you make a decision in your life. Philippians 3 verse 13 to 14 says, forgetting, this is Paul telling us that, forgetting what's behind me, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what's behind me, I press on. So he made a decision that, hey, I'm going to leave all my successes, all my failures, I will leave them in the past, and I will press on towards the prize, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. In Matthew chapter 14, it explains the time when Jesus had just fed the 5,000 people, and then he sent the disciples away to say, cross to the other side of the lake. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side while he sent the people home. And said after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And he says, night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified, and in the fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And he said, yes, come, Jesus said. And so obviously he went to the other side. I honestly believe as I read this scripture that there is a place that God is taking you where you've not been there before. God is taking you somewhere where you've not been before. And it is going to require to build new levels of trust, new levels of intimacy with him. Whether you are young or you are old, you have to recognize there is a level that you're at and there is the next level that God is calling you to. You have not been where God is calling you to. And so you need to put all your trust in the Lord Jesus. In Acts, I'll bring all this together. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, it says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, seek out from among you men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" Movement in your life begins with a decision, not a date. Paul said, "Forgetting what's behind, I press on." We understand that dates don't change lives, but decisions do. You also have to understand that growth in your life is not automatic with time. It is, you have got to be intentional and say, "Hey, this year I want to do something different with my life." You have to make a decision. It's intentional with surrender. You have to understand that you don't drift into God's purpose. You decide into it. So sometimes what happens is that God will come and visit you. But there are other times where you will make a decision to draw closer to the Lord. At times he will visit you, but at other times you will have to make a decision. It's sometimes we wait on God to make decisions that we need to make. We have to make the decisions ourselves to say, "Hey, I'm going to draw a bit closer to the Lord this year. You are not going to drift into it. And you know what? Things just don't happen in life. You don't just get good grades because you think, this year I'm going to turn up at school. No, you have to be decisive and say, "This is what I'm going for this year." You see, you have to understand when Paul said this thing, what he was telling us that Jesus grabbed hold of me on the Damascus road for a reason. And he says, "And I'm running to fully become what he saved me for." So you and I have to understand that God has a plan for my life. And he has a purpose for my life, irrespective of your age. You could be young, you could be old. God has, as long as you're still breathing, there is a plan and a purpose for your life. And you are going to have to make a decision that, "Hey, this year, I think I'm going to draw a bit closer to the Lord. I think I'm going to yield to his invitation." What Paul was saying to us, that I won't be trapped by my past. So he says, forgetting all that's behind me, my past failures. We know the things that he did persecuting the church. We know, he said, "Look, those things, I'm leaving them behind. I'm pressing on to everything that God has for me." So there is the level that you're on, and then there's the next level that God is calling you to be. So I won't be trapped by my past. I won't settle for partial obedience. I am running toward Christ's full intention for my life. We have to understand that I certainly believe that sometimes the Lord, and I don't know for you, whoever has had woken up in the middle of the night, you just wake up and you look at the time, it's maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then you think, "Oh, this is strange. Why am I up?" And then you go back to sleep. "Oh, that's weird." And then you turn around and you go back to sleep. But it happens consistently. You find more often than not, you're being woken up at the same time. Or what can sometimes happen to you is that you wake up in the morning, and as soon as you wake up, there's a song that's playing in your heart. Worship song that's playing in your heart. I want to tell you, that is the Lord drawing you closer to himself. Understand that when God comes, he does not come like the police. When the police come and knock on your door, in fact, they are bashing down the door. They'll probably tell you, police, open the door or we're banging it down. And if you don't open in time, bang, the doors, they bust it open. But God is not like that. It will come with a gentle knock. God will begin to say things in your heart. The question is that, are you going to yield to what God wants to do in your life? He will come even as a young person and say, hey, I want you to do things differently to your friends. I don't want you to carry on like they're carrying on. The question is, are you going to yield? Because God always invites before he instructs. You know, when the disciples were on the boat, Jesus came and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus doesn't force Peter. Peter is the one who says, Lord, if it's you. Peter doesn't demand certainty. But what is happening here is there's an invitation to trust. Because God is saying, hey, I want you to come to the next level. Now, what's that going to mean for your life is that there's going to be, you're going to have to let go of some things. If you are going to fully grab everything that God has for you, you are going to have to do what? Let go of some things. You're going to have to let go of some hurts. Because those hurts will get in the way of what God wants to do with your life. You're going to have to forgive somebody. You're going to have to forgive yourself. Otherwise, it's going to get in the way. So the issue is that, will you yield to what God wants to do in your life? Because he's not going to knock down the door. He's going to, in fact, he will whisper. He will whisper, hey, I'm inviting you. Everything that the Lord does, it's an invitation to draw close. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you think, oh, that's strange, why did I wake up? Understand, the Lord is inviting you to something. He's inviting you into something deeper. Will you yield? That's the issue for all of us. Are we going to yield to the Lord, or we'll sort of like say, you know what, my sleep is very precious, I can't be bothered? Faith begins when you respond to God's invitation, not when all the answers are clear. One of the things we have to understand, you see, is that faith has an order. There is discernment that comes before what? Movement. You are going to have to commit some things. This is why the scripture says that unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor in what? In vain. But also it says that commit your ways to the what? To the Lord. So it's very important that what we have to understand is that we have to plan, we have to commit, we have to wait, and then we have to go. So we've got to plan. So Peter discerns, if it's you, Lord, bid that I come. And when he believes that he's heard the voice of the Lord, he commits. And then you wait for the Lord's instructions. And then he steps out of the boat and he goes. Waiting is not inactivity in your life. It's preparation for obedience. Faith is not rushed. But once God speaks, your obedience is immediate. I came to tell you this morning that I believe this from the bottom of my heart, that there is a plan and a purpose for everybody in this place. That you are on this level, but understand that there is the what? The next level that God is calling you to. The question is, will you yield? Will you yield? And I want to tell you that when the Lord comes, it's not going to be with a loud bang. It's a very soft, very, you see, it's so soft that if you don't listen carefully, you are going to miss it. And sometimes we get these thoughts and we get these ideas and we think, ah, that's just me. No, it's the Lord. Hey, isn't it good to see my brothers and my sisters? They're wearing the jersey of Burundi. It's the African Cup. And so they're representing their country. Is Burundi in the African Cup? No. Oh. But still, the uniforms look good, eh? We as Zimbabwe is going to be playing against South Africa, and so hopefully we beat them. Well, we have to beat them to qualify for the next stage. But when God comes, it's going to be an invitation. He will come in your life. He will ask of you. He will ask of you. The question is always going to be, will I yield? Will I yield to what the Lord wants to do? God is going to visit some of you because some of you have been given a ministry of intercession where you just, God has given you this gift of intercession where he will visit you and then he will ask you, hey, it's prayer time. Will you yield to that? One of the things I want to encourage you is that, remember, there is times when God comes to you and there's other times that you go to the Lord. We've just heard that Paul said, I press on. He made a decision that, hey, forgetting everything, I'm making a decision that I'm going to go for everything that God has for me so that I can fulfill the plan and the calling of God for my life. But in doing that, the book of Acts chapter 6 tells us that when things are going good in our lives, there are certain times when things are going good. Everything is, you know, we are satisfied, we're happy with our spouses, we're happy with our kids, everything is working well. And then sometimes in that moment, you know, there are things that come. Like what they faced. They faced a problem in their ministry. So he says, when the disciples were being multiplied, there was an issue that arose because there were people complaining that the food distribution was not being done fairly. It wasn't being done fairly, and so they were complaining. And so they wanted the disciples to say, hey, can you guys do what? Can you come and intervene? And they said, no, we are not going to be taken away from doing certain things that we need to do. What we will do is we will select a few people that are wise, that are full of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What I want to tell you is that watch out for distractions in your life. Watch out for things that will take you away from the plan and purpose of God for your life. Watch out for distractions. Understand that what happened, you see, is that when Peter, you see, he was going somewhere where he had never been before. And as he was walking on the water, things were going great. But the moment he took his focus away from Jesus, he looked at the wind and the waves, and then he realized that, oh my goodness, I shouldn't be walking on what? On water. Then he began to sink. The apostles faced, like we've just said, the distraction through the legitimate needs of the church. But they said, hey, we will not be distracted. We will assign people who will handle this, and we will give ourselves. There are certain things that we need to give ourselves to at the expense of other things. This tells me that if I'm going to fully apprehend everything that God has for me, there are certain things that I cannot ignore. I cannot ignore prayer in my life, and I cannot ignore the ministry of the word. Because everything that you do in your life is built upon prayer and the word, which is intimacy with knowing the Father. Everything that you do will be based on that. So you have to watch out for distractions that want to take you away from that. So distraction is not a sin. But when you are misaligned with the intents and purposes of God for your life, that's not good. So what we know is that what you focus on determines what you stand on. And in our lives, I'll just get the guitars, please. Decision determines our direction. You might not think that. You may think that maybe my time is past. You know, the Lord has, I've missed the boat with the Lord. But you know what? Whilst you're still breathing, you can still execute the plans and purposes of God for your life. What it's going to require is not just a turn in the date. It's going to require a decision that I am going to yield, because your decisions that you make determine the direction of your lives. What I will encourage is that, even for our young people here, is that when you've made the decision to follow the Lord, if you want to be successful in your life, read your Bible. Follow the Lord. You might think that, oh, all my friends are doing this and that. I'm telling you, you will come out in the end. You will come out significantly better. We know from Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel and the three other guys made a determination to say, hey, we won't defile ourselves with the food of the king. And it says that they said to the guy, test us and see that after 10 days we will not be better off than everybody else. And they were. That in the end, when you make the decision to say, I'm going to stand for the Lord, you will always be better off. That doesn't mean that you will not go through hard times. You will go through hard times. But guess what? You've got Jesus with you. Peter decided to step out of the boat. The apostles decided, they decided what mattered most to them. And what mattered most to them was prayer and the ministry of the word. And Paul made a decision to say, hey, I'm going to press on toward the upward calling that God has for me. That no matter what, I am not going to be distracted from everything that God has for me, so I can fulfill the assignment that God has for me. Let's stand this morning. What was that last song? Yeah, we're going to sing that song. Hey, as we finish this morning, I just want to give people an opportunity, for those that have never made a decision, to say, hey, I commit my life to the Lord Jesus. I surrender my life to Him. I yield. Because if Jesus has been knocking on your door, you need to answer that call. So I just invite everybody to say after me, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I repent of my sins. And I make the decision today to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If that is you this morning, with every eye closed, head bowed, just raise up your hand so that I can see. Father, I thank you for your people this morning. What I'm going to ask is that if the Lord has been speaking to you, knocking on the door of your heart, we're just going to open up this space here to pray for people. And we're just going to, and I just want you to step forward as a sign that, hey, Lord, I'm making the step and I'm making the decision to yield to you this morning. I want you to come to the front as a sign, and we're just going to pray with you and pray for you. And then we'll continue to sing, and then our service will be over. So let's sing. If you need prayer, if the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart, don't ignore that knock. Please come to take a step of faith and we'll pray for you. Let's sing.
else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. You are the infinite God of the ages, yet you chose to make my heart your dwelling.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your church. I thank you, Lord God, for your people this morning, that as they leave this place, they will know, Lord God, that you love them, that there is a level that they're on, but there is another level you're calling them to. Bless your people, Lord God. And Father, for all that you have for them next year, Lord God, may they move into 2026 with confidence, Lord God, that they have never been where you're calling them to go, but they can trust that you will be with them throughout the journey of 2026, and that they can hold on to you, that Father, that you are there and you are near to them, and you will hold them up. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Bless them as they go, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.